Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Praise the Lord. Transforming lives to impact their world. That's what we're doing as a church. How many lives are being touched, transformed, moved, changed? How many know that's not just about you? It's so that you can, in turn, you know, release that goodness, release that glory everywhere you get. Because freely you receive, freely give. So don't let it get plugged up, because then it becomes a stinky puddle. You want to keep it flowing. You want to keep it moving in your community. So these are impact verbs we value. Impact verbs we value. So just shape some of our values in six verbs. So here's the verbs we dealt with. Follow, we dealt with discover, we dealt with connect. So follow. First thing is, we want you to follow. So that's all about following Jesus. And John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them." I love that, don't you? "My sheep hear my voice. I know them." Do you know that God knows you? He loves you. He's intimately acquainted with you. It says, "I know them and they follow me." We really want to engage people to follow Jesus. Because you know, when you follow Jesus, he really impacts your life. Like Joey, we got Joey. Joey just followed Jesus. You know, could have brought Joey in and give him a list of all the things you need to change right away. Oh my goodness, you know, now that you've come to Jesus, clean up your act. But you know, just come to Jesus. Keep following Jesus. And when you keep following Jesus, it's amazing how he touches your life. When you start following Jesus, he speaks to you, he touches you, and it's his grace that enables you to make the changes he wants you to make. Not that some organization or religious sect or group say, "This is acceptable and this is not. Now be on this side of the page." We just want you to follow Jesus. You know what? He'll work out all the stuff. Don't tell me what to do. Okay, sorry about that. I said, you just follow Jesus, you know what? And it's easy. The sanctifying process of the Holy Ghost in your life, it's easy. You step into the unforced rhythms of grace, and it's a good thing. So the Pharisee convention, if you go to the Pharisee convention, it says, if you change, you can join us. If you guys change, you can join us. If you change some certain aspects of your life, you can come into the realm of glory that we're in. If you just tweak a few things in your walk, you could be up here with us. Woo! How many been to that convention? It was pretty awesome, wasn't it? Wow. Then you see them, you know, 3 days later at the Tim Hortons line, and you're going, "Get out of the way. Who did that? Who did that? You didn't put cream in my coffee." Amen. Praise Jesus. Right. But the message of Jesus is, join me and you can change. Join me and you're empowered to work out all those issues. And don't worry about it. Just enter into the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, the next thing that happens is you discover, because you get into a relationship with Jesus, you start to discover some stuff. And so we want you to discover. So I believe people are driven in our culture because they never found rest. And because you don't find rest, you never are able to answer those two questions: where did I come from and why am I here? So we talked about discover last week, and I was going to have a great testimony with somebody, and then she called and said, "I'm away this week." I went, man, I hate it when that happens. Next week. So next week, we're going to have that. But I love it. I love it when people come to Jesus and you begin to realize who you are. You begin to realize how he uniquely wired you and he planned you. And you're not by mistake. Not even in this time and place are you by mistake. But God has specific purposes for your life that you begin to recognize. You begin to understand and you begin to align yourself with his purpose in your life. I love it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me." Say, "Come to me." You know, it doesn't say perform for me. It says, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." All you people that labor, like you're working really hard and you're beat up. And I love the message. It says, "Come to me, all you burned out on religion, burned out on performance." And you know, the Pharisees, you take the one law, keep the Sabbath, make it holy, the one law. Underneath that, you know, they added like thousands. They wanted you to keep that law, so they added one rule. One of the rules was you can't walk more than 500 steps on a Sabbath. That was the rabbinical code. They added to it because they really wanted you to obey that commandment. They added more commandments to it. And you know that in the rabbinical code, it says if the rabbinical code and the Bible are in conflict, the rabbinical code wins. Truth. I'm telling you, it's the absolute truth. You got Christians trying to obey the rabbinical code. It's nonsense. And Jesus came and said, it's nonsense. Imagine, you know, you've been counting your steps all day and you've been around a little more than that. And then you got to go to the potty and all of a sudden it's like 498, 499, 500. Well, I can't break the law. I don't want to break my fellowship with the Father. Anybody got some steps left? Can you get me a pot? You know? I mean, it's crazy stuff. But they did it with good intentions at first, because they said, we really want to make sure that people obey God. And because we really want them to obey God, we're going to add some more rules to it to really make sure we don't blow it. And I really want you to be in a relationship with God. I really want you to walk in the anointing like I do. And I really want it. So if you do the 20 things I did and 5 more Holy Ghost push-ups, you can be like me. You know, we still got the Pharisees around today. And they're still saying, you do a bunch of stuff. Freely you've received, freely give. The Apostle Paul said, I am nothing except the grace of God. Anything I possess, he gave it to me. So anyway, we want people to understand what it is to follow him. We want them to discover how amazing it is to be a child of God. We want them free from all of that. Look what he says, to come to me, my yoke is easy. I love it. It says, find rest, and not just rest, but deep rest. It says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I love where he says, come and learn of me. And then he adds this in. Why does he add that in? Learn of me, I'm gentle and I'm lowly of heart. Isn't that amazing? Don't you love that God's gentle? Don't you love that if he were teaching you, it would be somebody who's, you just want to listen to because he's so gentle and he's so stinking humble. Come and learn of me. I'm gentle and I'm lowly of heart. And he says, come and you will find rest for your souls. Like deep rest, deep rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So when you know where you come from and you know why you're here, you begin to live intentionally and freely, intentionally, like on purpose, and freely. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. God's graced us all. Every one of us have been graced and gifted, but we've been given that grace and those giftings to serve other people. But you're never going to discover that if you're not following him, leaning into him, learning from him, and entering into the deep rest that he wants you to have in your life. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, so we're stepping into number 3. It's connect. Say thank you for the recap, Pastor. Thank you. Amen. That's good. It's really hard when the sermon is 28 series long. It takes me 4 hours to recap. But anyways, here we are. Connect. You got to connect. I mean, this is a very important value for us. You got to connect. Here at Impact, we expect you to connect. All right, so look at this fellow. Look at this fellow right here. This fellow is Lieutenant Hiro Anada. Hiro Anada, and this was in 1974, March the 10th. He gave up the battle in 1974. Now, the war had been over for years, but he finally gave up and came out of the jungle. Now, he said he would not come out of the jungle because his commander told him, do not surrender. So he'd been living in the jungle and he refused to surrender. 29 years after the war was over, he's still in the jungle hanging on. He will not surrender. They finally had to find this fella. They had to find him. And he said he would only surrender if he sent the commander who told him to stay there. He had to come and tell him it's over. Stop. You can come home. So here's a guy for 29 years stayed in the jungle, secluded and by himself. I thought this was interesting because he wrote this. I think it was in Newsweek. And he said, here's what he said. So tell us about your experience. He said, nothing pleasant happened in 29 years in the jungle. I just thought that was a really good quote, don't you? 29 years hanging on, nothing pleasant. Let me tell you something. Nothing pleasant happens if you isolate yourself and you withdraw from being connected with people. Nothing pleasant happens. I'm going to show you a picture of another guy. This is a little more current. Look at this fellow here. Now that is Christopher Thomas Knight. He is known as the North Pond Hermit. So this was in 2013, he was arrested because he'd broke into a cabin in the wilderness of northern Maine. But he, when he was 20 years old, he was born in 1965, but when he was 20 years old, he took his car and he drove it until there were no more roads, put his keys on the console and walked into the wilderness and was never seen again. In fact, he said at that time, 27 years, in all that time, only once had he seen somebody, and it just happened that a hiker came across him, and he said, in 27 years, I said one word, a hiker happened to run into me, and I said, hi. 27 years. So he lived in isolation. He just walked off the grid. He just, you know, he canceled his Facebook and just said, see you later. he just done. I'm not going to do it. And they did this whole, it was in GQ magazine, but this whole report on him, it was all about his life. And they said, you know, it was a really normal family. It was, his parents were great. His family was great. He just decided to walk off the grid. And when they found him and they caught him because somebody had a camera installed at their hunting lodge and they saw the guy break in. And so they went and they captured him. But he'd been breaking into all kinds of homes. You know what? He felt terrible that he was breaking into homes, but he said it was the only way I could exist. I had to just, you know, and he had beautiful stuff. He had like Northwest jackets on and all the best shoes and all kinds of stuff. But what he felt really bad about was that he stole from people for years, but it was the only way he could exist. But here's what he said. Let me show you what he said. Pull it up on the screen. Here's what he said. I became very introspective. No kidding. So I became very introspective. And without others, I found no need to define myself. He literally said, I became irrelevant. Without others, I found no need to define myself. I became irrelevant. And he didn't find himself. He actually lost himself. Like, don't fall off the grid. You're not helping yourself. You literally are becoming irrelevant by pulling out of relationship and pulling out of being connected. Being connected is the will of God. Being connected is a command of God. Being in relationship and connected where he plants you is a very, very important purpose of God. Yesterday, I woke up and I wasn't doing anything all day. I said, honey, what are we doing today? And she said, I'm not doing anything today. She had a few appointments. She's training bookkeepers all over Canada with her new program. And so I had no plans, nothing going on, no demands on my life at all. And I found myself sitting in my pajamas, which means my underwear, on the couch just, you know, watching basketball games and stuff, and I sat there. And then, shockingly, about 6 o'clock or so, my daughter showed up, walked right in the door, and I'm like, my God. And I realized I haven't combed my hair. I haven't even brushed my teeth. And I wondered why the dog, when he came up, and how you doing? He went, I was like, man, your breath smells too. Like, what's your problem? But I was just thinking about this. I was thinking, man, I'd be pretty messy if I went off the grid. That would be awful. I mean, I got one free day, and look at me. I mean, this is really, really bad. You know, and you know what, folks? Honestly, when we pull out, when we disconnect, we've got nothing to work off of, to frame ourselves, to help ourselves. It's just absolutely wrong. So turn to your neighbor and say, brush your teeth twice a day. It's really important stuff. You know, there are 59 one another commands in the New Testament. 59. One another commands in the New Testament. 21 of them involve love. Love. And here's John 13:34. A new commandment I give you. And this was when? It was at the Last Supper. Jesus just about to go become the sacrifice for everything. Once to put the law aside, to put the sacrificial system aside. One sacrifice once and for all. The one sacrifice, the new covenant, has a new commandment. And here it is. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as, say as. Love one another as I have loved you, so you love one another. When you get a new commandment, what does that do with the old commandment? The Bible says the old becomes obsolete, done away with. The new sacrifice, the new covenant came with a new commandment. Look at this slide here. Look at this one right here. Bang! The old covenant has commandments. Say, I go, Frankie, what's a snake do? The old covenant has old commandments, but the new covenant has a commandment. Isn't that great? Here it is, the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. You can't fulfill the new covenant unless you've been loved by God first. We love him because he first loved us. I love you because it's his love shed abroad in my heart. This isn't an effort for me. This is a natural functioning flow of my relationship with God. It's the fruit of the Spirit himself being manifest through my experience because I'm hooked up to the vine. It's Jesus. It's his life. It's his love flowing through me everywhere I go. Because what kind of love is it? It's a sacrificial love ascribing infinite worth to somebody else. Me ascribing infinite worth to you. I love you, brother. I love you in the Lord. Hallelujah. You love me in the Lord, but don't you love me? Well, I love you in the Lord. you know, because loving you otherwise is kind of rough. But, you know, when you got the love of God poured in your heart, you can give that kind of love to others because you're baptized in it. You're saturated in it. You're pickled in the nature of God. You got His Spirit in you. So love. Connecting is not optional. If you don't want power windows on your Ford, that's optional. But connecting in the body of Christ is not an option. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not optional. Very good. Thank you very much. All right. So it is not optional. So look, we're going to go. We're going to go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Going to look at verse 18. I got it up on the screen for you. I hate that I do this, but I do. Because I want you to read your Bibles. But look what it says. We can read it together. You see, and when sins have been forgiven, there's no more need for any more sacrifices. Fabulous chapter. Hebrews is a great book. Hebrews is all about a better covenant. Yeah, there was an old covenant, but now we got a better covenant. And he says we had sacrifices back then that didn't deal with your conscience, that didn't penetrate to your whole being. They were external things that never, ever really, truly set you free. But the new covenant goes all the way through, removes guilt and shame and every messy thing, totally delivers you once and for all, brings you into a relationship with God. It's so good. So sins have been forgiven. All your sins have been forgiven. All of them. And so, listen, in light of all that, listen, now that you've been set free, now that you understand it's the blood and only the blood, now that you understand that we all come through the same living way, Jesus, listen. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter. We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place if you go to the Holy Place Conference. We can boldly enter the holy place. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. There, you just took the conference. How do you get in? The blood of Jesus. You got in and you passed the test. Good for you. Heaven's most holy place, because of the blood of Jesus, by His death, Jesus opened up a new and living way. It's not just a new way. It's a living way. It's a forever way. It's an alive way. The new and living way that we can go, and we can go through the curtain and we can go into the most holy place. Next slide. And since we have a great high priest, we've got an usher. It's a holy living place, but we also got an usher. Jesus is going to come here. I'm taking you in. Oh, no, I'm not ready. Yes, you are. No, I'm not really. I've been bad all week. Come on, you're coming. He's your high priest. He's the bridge. He's the one. It's His blood, and then He Himself, the new and living way. Jesus comes, grabs you, says, come on in. I want to show you the Father. Come on, come boldly. He says, come on in. He says, the priest who rules over the house of God, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts. Sincere is the word sine sire. It's from a Latin word, sine and sire, and it means sine without sire wax. And if you had a sculpture that you made and had a flaw in it, you could melt some wax and rub it in and go, oh, it's perfect. But it's really not. Because on a sunny day, all the flaws are exposed. You see, there's some people who go like, I'm going to cover myself up. I'm going to throw some wax in my flaws. I'm going to do that. Look, I'm okay. No, you come with a sincere heart. No wax, none of my own effort, not me trying to hide or cover up my problems. I'm coming with a sincere heart. No hiding, no shame, nothing at all. But simply through the blood of Jesus, I'm coming boldly into the presence of God. He doesn't want any fakers or players. He already knows. So cut it out. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. If He said it's the blood and the blood alone, and the blood will qualify you, trust me, I'm bringing you in. Trust Him. Trust Him, because you're going to enter into His presence by faith alone. Faith in that He's the finished work. He's the living way. Trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So hello, folks. We're ready. You're qualified to stand right in the Holy of Holies with God without fear, without shame, and just take a look at me now. Wow. Okay, sorry, that was good. I know you wanted more, but I got to move on. One more slide. Let us, say let us. This passage is all for vegetarians, all right, because it's all about let us. All right, let us, all the vegetarians said, woo! Never mind then. Okay. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Woo! Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. If it was near then, it's nearer now. So this is a good verse for us. Say, that's good. Thank you, Pastor. All right, so we're going to eat some lettuce today. Is that all right? All right, so let's do some lettuce. Connecting is mandatory. Connecting is mandatory. Number one, together we approach. It doesn't say let you or let me. It says let us. Together we approach. It's got to be us. It's got to be together. Verse 22, let us go right in. Let us boldly approach that throne. Let us go right in to the presence of God. Well, I'm just going to hang in the back here. Just, you know, wow. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You can trust that what he said, he did. You are qualified to stand in his presence. Isn't that great? But you know what? It's together. It's together we approach the throne of God. Kennard, can you come here just for a minute? I had a dream about me and Kennard. And I was dreaming that Kennard and I went to heaven. That's pretty rational. I know I'm going. And in my dream, we were going up. But on the way, we had a bit of a journey. We had time. And I was kind of saying, you know, I think, you know, Jesus, we kind of saw. And it says that the Father kind of looks like him. But I'm pretty sure he'd be a whole lot more like me than you. And Kennard's like, pfft. This was in my dream. So Kennard's like, I don't think so. He said, I think he'd be maybe have a six pack. I went, what about a keg? Anyway, anyways, said, you know, I think he'd be like me in my personality, though. I think he'd be open, be fun and stuff. And Kennard said, says gentle, lowly of heart. I don't know what he meant by that. But we're having this, you know. And then sure enough, we got there. And I'm like, this is exciting because we're going to see the Father. Are you ready? We open up. And then suddenly the Father steps out. And you know what he said? He said, buenos dias, compañeros. Mi casa, su casa. Okay, you can go sit down. I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. How many of you think, and you got a picture, that God would probably be a lot like me? Like you've literally made and applied your own personality to God, your biases, the way you see the world. God is a lot like me. Now, I talked to God this morning, and he gave me a scripture that I'm actually right, that he is a lot like me. And he did. I said, Lord, I think you are a lot like me, though. And he said, if God be for you, who can be against you? And I said, exactly. And he was for me when I said that. You know, you do that. You're looking at me thinking I do that. You do that. I think God would be a lot like me. He'd hang out with the people I hang out with. He'd have a worldview like me. I think God would be a bit like me. You know, it's a terrible thing that we literally project our biases, opinions, and personalities on God. And we start to say, this is what God's like. He's nothing like whatever you are. He might be some like it, but he's probably going to say, buenos dias, compañeros. Don't do that. Because you know what? It says right there in Revelation, your blood has ransomed people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. So lighten up. Because you know what? We're going to approach, and it's got to be connecting as a together thing. It's together we approach the throne of grace. Do you understand? And it's all of us. And don't narrow God to something of your own creation because he's way bigger than that. He's actually transcendent, so you can never really get your hands on him. So you know what? Look around. These are all your brothers and sisters. And if you're going to approach, it's going to be together. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Amen. Your check is in the mail. Acts 20:20. Here's Paul when he's talking. He says, how I kept nothing back from you, nothing that was helpful, but I proclaimed it to you and I taught it to you publicly and from house to house. Publicly and from house to house. What's he saying? We did it in rows and we did it in circles. We did it in rows and we did it in small groups. We did it in big celebrations and we did it in small gatherings. I don't know if you're involved in a small group here, but you should be involved in one somewhere. I don't know if you're processing your faith with other people or not, but you should be. And we're providing places for you to do it, all kinds, early in the morning, later at night, during midday. We got all kinds of places and times where you can connect with other people. Because if you're going to approach God, it says, let us approach the presence of God. This is a community thing. This is a body of Christ thing. You cannot do this by yourself. You got to be connected. I got married. Now, if I didn't go home, would I still be married? I suppose so. But I wouldn't have a really great relationship with my wife. You know what? You got a relationship with God. He's got a home. He's got a place where he's planted you. You have to engage there. It's not optional. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so let us. Good. I'm trying to do that. So eat your lettuce. It's good. Second thing is, together we approach. Number two, together we stand. Together we stand. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Who? Let us. Let us hold tightly to the truth we affirm. Holding on is a group activity. Oh my goodness. Holding on is a group activity, all right? Hold tightly without wavering. It's a group activity. You know, have you ever been in a place where you're holding on yourself? You ever thought that I'm hanging on to someone that's actually made you pull into yourself and withdraw a bit? Holding on is a group activity. You know, if you're having a hard time holding on to something, share it with other people. Open it up, even if it's ugly, even if it's painful, share it with other people because you can't do it on your own. And this is a group activity. You got to stand together. Together we stand. Hold on. Hold on to each other as you hold on to his promises because he is faithful. We got a Rottweiler named Bo, and he loves to play catch. The only problem is when you throw the ball, he brings it back and he won't let it go. But now I've learned that I've got three different things all the time. And so when he comes back, I start playing with this. Like, this is really important. He's like, then finally he'll drop that so I can throw the other thing. But when he gets a hold of something, he never lets go. You know, we've got to firmly together lay hold of truths and lay hold of promises. We got to together get a firm grip on those things because he is faithful to his promises. Can I get an amen? Number three, together we act. Said, let us think of ways to motivate one another. Together we act. Look at, think of ways. Remember my cousin Pam and her husband Tim, they used to drive me crazy. Every week, I think they sat there at home and they had two babies. They had two babies, and I'm sure they sat every week going, how can we occupy Carl's time? How can we get him serving the purpose of God? And they would always be calling me, you know, telling me, hey, I got tickets to Bob Dylan. You got to come with me. Hey, I got tickets here. We're going to go to this. Hey, we're going to go to this. Hey, come on over for dinner. Hey, and they were filling my time. They were on purpose, filling up my life. They were committed to the fact that I was going to serve God. I mean, they just acted in every way they thought of. How can we get Carl into his destiny? We see it. He doesn't see it, but we're going to make him see it. And they were committed together to motivate me to get it done. So join me. Help me. This is work for me. I mean, it's sharing life with people. It's together we act, and together we get stuff done. Have you ever been on the site Ranker? Anybody been on Ranker? You can go on it, and you can rank stuff. And it has all kinds of lists, and you can move right now. No, just me? Okay. Too much time on my hands. All right. Ranker, it has a list of top annoying things, top pet peeves. Really good. And it's amazing how they can move around. But here's my top pet peeves. People who talk at the movies. Yeah. Hey? Yeah, I was there last time, though, when nobody was talking, but I could hear everybody crunching popcorn. I went, turn up the volume. This is annoying. But anyways, there's like people. Number two, well, this really drives me nuts. People who cut in lines. People who cut in on lines. And they just kind of, you know, like the coffee lines. Hey, who's next to me? I kind of just, that's why I hate going to Canada's Wonderland. People are like, my mom's up there. Excuse me, my mom's up there. And I'm like, block it. I don't care where your mother is. I just hate that. And I don't even care if your mother was up there. You're not moving past me. Do you understand? Anyways, that's one of those things. All right, sorry about that. Pardon me. But people who don't pick up after their dog. Hey. Come on. Like, you're walking the street. Like, I mean, that wasn't a poodle. If it was a poodle, it was a big one. That's just wrong. People who drive slow in the fast lane. Beep, flash, flash, beep. You know, I'm in the fast lane, I got a cruise control 50. Then, you know, you go around, you drive by, and you look, and you're looking over there, and you give them the wave that's missing a few of the appendages, you know, it's awesome. They still can't see. And then you see about five cars go by and you're looking. I don't do it. Other people do that. I don't do that. You look back in the rearview mirror, but five cars go around. You figure sooner or later, but doesn't get it. Who are you? We're having an altar call right now. Stop it. It's just like, drives me nuts. You ready? Number one on my list is when you're in the public restroom and you're there and stuff going on, and but then there's guys walking out without washing their hands. I was stuck in a washroom for an hour once because I couldn't touch the door handle to get out. Because about three guys before, finally somebody pushed the door, but thank you, Jesus. It's, you know, there's times you grab the door and it's like wet or something, and you're like, oh, a piece of paper towel. I never thought of that. I wasted an hour of my life in there. All I needed was a piece. But there's negative. Those are negative motivations, all right? Those are things that motivate me negatively. I said all of that to say, try to motivate people positively. Stuff I do to try to make sense of a sermon. Together we approach, together we stand, together we act. Number four, together we remain. Together we remain. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Now, social media is not real human interaction. That's why I said at, you know, announcements that it's a list in the bulletin of who I unfollowed this week. I didn't unfollow anybody. I'm afraid to unfollow you. I'm afraid I might offend you. You might find out I didn't follow you because I come to church on Sunday. Pastor, did you see the post I sent you last week? Of course I did. I'm afraid to unfollow anybody, but how many have, all eyes closed, heads bowed, how many have secretly unfollowed somebody on Facebook? Hold it, Cheryl, they didn't put their eyes closed yet. That's terrible, isn't it? It's bad, and you feel guilty because you're like, it's filling up my whole stream here, and anyways, you know. But honestly, social media is not real human interaction, all right? That was worth the price of admission right there, amen? Like, some people are living in a little room by themselves. You know, I'm totally connected. No, you're not. It's not even real. Here, I'll tell you why. Because everything is edited. They only show you pictures of the good meals they're buying. Like, how many more pictures of food do I need, Cheryl? Oh, look what we're having tonight. Like, you know, you didn't show us the failure last week, you know, but we're showing it. Anyway, she tried to make Nachi, then it was right in the garbage. Gnocchi, is it Gnocchi, Pinocchio, Nachi, whatever it was. Whatever it was, we didn't eat that night. So anyways. Anyways, I'm trying to preach here, all right? So please, all right. Together we remain. Let us not neglect meeting together. Look, real relationships, give me another slide, we're just about there. Real relationships are good and messy. Good and messy. If you're afraid to have a messy relationship, you're not ready for anything. I mean, Cheryl, at the bottom of her emails, it says love means to risk everything. I mean, if you're not willing, you risk rejection, risk it all. But you know what? If you're not willing to have a painful relationship, you're not ready for a relationship. Because really, relationships are going to cause you some pain. Amen? We'll put those in the bulletin next week. But they really will. And it's okay. It's okay to have a messy relationship. You know, and you can work through messy stuff. Bill's been here at this church for 27, well, he's been here longer than me, but 27 years he's been in a relationship with me. Isn't that amazing? John's been here. He was here before I came too, and he's still here. He's thinking about it sometimes, but he's still here. I love it that I got relationships that are long-standing, and we've had to work through stuff. You know, it's not that it's just been, well, I haven't successfully offended them. No, we've had to work through stuff. We've disagreed about stuff, been, you know, had things go on. But you know what? Real relationships get messy. Don't be afraid of it. Look at Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, how does iron sharpen iron? It's messy. It sparks. It's nonsense. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If your friend hasn't taken a swing at you lately, he's not a good friend. I mean, a swing, you know, rhetorically, you know. Metaphorically, yes, that's it. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Have you ever thought, oh, my friend who wounded me, it's faithfulness? Haven't quite seen it that way. You know, relationships are messy. If you're not in a place where you're risking everything and you're putting other people above yourself and you're ascribing infinite worth to other people more than you, if you're not finding yourself, well, you know what? I go to the small group. It doesn't do anything for me. You know, I go and people, you know, they're all kind of odd, and that's why you're there. Because the truth is, you're the odd one. You're the extra grace required person. But we need you, because we're all... I went and I got offended once. Great! Fantastic! It's working! It's working! You know what? We're never gonna be all of these things. We're never gonna manifest real love if it doesn't come to a place where I might have to forgive, or I might have to swallow something, or I might have to push some offense down. That we're not even in real relationships. I'm almost done. Give me another slide. I think I'm just about there. 1 Peter 3:8. Love one another deeply from the heart. Like, love one another deeply from the heart. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I did not love others, I would be nothing. I would pay really big money to see a guy move a mountain. I mean, if I saw a thing saying, mountain is being moved, Bowler Mountain is going to be moved to the East End next week. We got a guy here, Bowler Mountain, moving on Wednesday, I would be there. I mean, God is saying, though, you got the faith that literally takes mountains and goes, if you don't have love, it's nothing. I mean, nothing. I'm still thinking, still be pretty cool. You can have all the wisdom of God, understand all the deep things of God, but if you don't love others, nothing. We don't really need courses on how to move mountains. Because if you're going to move mountains, it's all good as long as you're loving people. And as long as your reason for moving the mountain is because the people in the East End, they need to ski too. But it's all about others. Even, I think we'd see more spiritual gifts in manifestation if we'd emphasize that the gifts work in love. And if your motivation isn't love, you don't need an act of the Holy Spirit. Because your motivation might be, hey, I'm awesome. Not so much. Even if you move a mountain and it's not loving and connecting and being a part, who cares? Oh, that was harsh, Pastor. Come on. My wife just hit the clock, which means... 10 more minutes. In conclusion, and it is true that when a person says in conclusion, 68% pay more attention. In conclusion, I got one more slide. There it is. Your love for others, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove. I saw a guy move the mountain. Your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples. It's all together, folks. It's together we approach, together we stand, together we act, together we remain. Come on, stand up with me. It's an important verb for us here. We want you to connect. Now, if we don't have a group where you can connect, and you're connected with another group, that's all great, doesn't matter. But you know, if it doesn't work for you, make your own group. Just tell me you're starting your own group. You're gonna meet at Williams Coffee Shop at, you know, Thursday at 5 or whatever. Let us know, we'll put it in the bulletin, we'll send it out and say, hey, we got a new connect group. It's at Williams Coffee Shop at 5. I mean, if what we're doing isn't working for you, let's make another one. Let's invite, could be other people who are saying the same thing. It just doesn't work for me, it's wrong time for me. Then let's get one. But we need to connect if we're really gonna grow and we're really gonna experience God's best for our lives, amen? So connect is not an option. Connect is a value that we highly, highly adhere to here at Impact Church. All right, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Please pray, please pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that, you know, you made the connection. You made the first move. And I thank you that Jesus, I mean, there it is, Jesus, you and the Godhead, you are the new and living way. You're the one who ushers me in. You're the one who assures that I have access to the very presence of the Father. And I thank you that I accept you and I believe in you with all my heart. And because of that, I have the right to be a child of God. Father, there might be people here today who've never really accepted you as you are the true and living way. You're that living way. You're the living way to that relationship with the Father. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't know you or hasn't had that experience. I want them to. So listen, if that's you today and you're saying, I'm here and I don't know. I haven't got that assurance that, you know, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. I've never taken that trip, the new and living way, to return me to the Father. I wanna do that right now. I wanna experience what it is to be a child of God. Now, if that's you, and you want to do that, or you're not sure if you've been reconciled to the Father, I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to go one, two, three. Why? So you can know when to put your hand up, really. And when I go three, just put your hand up. Say, would you pray for me before you go? And then we're just together. We're going to pray. All right. So if you don't know him, want to be sure right now. One, two, three. Just put your hand up wherever you are. Put it up really high. Put it up really high so we can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hand up so we can see it, okay? High enough so we can see it. All right, you can put your hands down. Thanks. Thank you. Can we all pray together? You put your hand up, we're going to pray with you. You pray, we're all praying together, all right? You ready? It's just an interaction. It's a transaction where you can know that today I've accepted Jesus. I've accepted that he accepts me. I've accepted him as the new and living way to restore me to my heavenly Father. So we're going to pray all together. You ready? Here we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for freeing me from everything that would offend my heavenly Father. I am restored right now to my heavenly Father. I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am free. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Testify with my spirit. Tell me on the inside that I am a child of God. Thank you. I declare I am saved and set free, a child of God forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now somebody might tap you on the shoulder and talk to you, and just because we don't need decision makers. We want people that just want to fully be discipled. But you didn't join the church. You didn't do anything like that. But we want you to know your relationship with Jesus. Can I pray for you right now? It's a big day today. How many know it's a big day today? It's Daytona 500 today, so it's a big day. All right. All right. I knew it. Bobby knew it. It was good. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you that you've planted me here. Thank you that I am connected. Thank you that you established me and you fit me here according to your will. And I receive that. I accept that. And I thank you that I belong to the body of Christ. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would bless each and every one. As Holly was singing, give us all a revelation that nothing can separate us from your love. So Father, let your love just be explode in every single heart, the fullness of it. Jesus, your grace, what you've done for us, the fullness of who we are in you, let that revelation settle in every heart. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your continued partnership. Thank you that you're going to use us. Thank you that the ministry begins right now as we go out and demonstrate your goodness to the world. So we bless you, we praise you, and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.